Greetings, saints. Bless you so much. Thank you for joining us for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. We love you. We appreciate you. And we've been praying for you. And we hope you're doing the same for us. And thank you, Father, for your goodness towards us in these days, Lord. We can see that you're working all things together for our good. And, Lord, teach us to be in cooperation with your plan. Help us not to worry about the things of the world, Lord, because you have all of that under control. We just need to follow you. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, I want to talk about the man-child reformers that are coming, basically because the Lord's been sending us a lot of revelations concerning these things, and we want to share them with you. We're going to begin with the attempted assassination of the David Man-Child Reformers. This revelation was given to Amber Arney, March the 23rd of this 2020. And she said, "I dreamed that some people had been slandering foreigners." Well, we who are born from above are foreigners in this world and hated, right? The slanderer's father and his children hate us. Amen. Amber said, "I heard that an Indian from India family had been attacked by in a restaurant." Well, the restaurant, I believe, is where spiritual food is being served. Do you know that everything out there is for the purpose of bringing sons into his glory, to create the sons of God? Good, bad, indifferent, none of it is missing its job to do this. So we should keep that in mind. When I became aware of the slander attack, I began walking around this restaurant acting as a lawyer to defend these foreigners. Well, the factious slanderers, whether you consider them in the church or in the world, in the government, in the United States, etc., can't stand the light of the word. They don't want to discuss or debate somebody who has common sense. They can't do it. They can't get away with it. They know it. So they have to do other things on the sly, right? I posed questions like, "How would you feel if..." so on and so forth. I stopped asking questions when the attackers began to feel embarrassed for how they treated the Indian family. I defended another group of foreigners in the same way. Well, of course, this is all happening, and the slanderers do this in darkness where they hope the truth doesn't come out because it makes them look pretty bad. It doesn't change their mind. It just makes them look bad, and they don't like looking bad, right? And the natural, of course, is a sign of the time, I believe. I have read that foreigners coming into some countries have been treated badly and spoken against because of fear of foreigners bringing in the coronavirus. I believe this is a timing thing, leading us to understand that the next parts of this dream are coming now, because we're seeing that now. This is a sign of this coming. And I just heard a testimony from a friend who was in South America and who was shunned for this very reason. So it had my ears open to understand that this is a timing thing. God is showing us this. Of course, we are foreigners in this world, and the world hates us, as Jesus said. It's supposed to hate us. We're from a different kingdom, and it's totally the opposite of this worldly kingdom. So, of course, it's natural for them to hate us. Then Amber said, a white bear or polar bear, I don't know which. I think it's just a white bear because just considering the description and what it translates as, walked into the restaurant. A white bear walked into a restaurant. I believe it's white because it is self-righteous and factious because it is a predator seeking to devour people, destroy people's lives, etc. I ran toward it to frighten it away. Just as I got close to the bear, I hesitated and thought, this is stupid. Then the bear growled and snapped at me. And my thought was, it's a witchcraft spirit sent by the factious to destroy the Davids and really hates us all. And we'll see that a little further on in the dream. I knew that I couldn't show fear or run away because then it would attack me, so I continued to run towards the bear. It's harder for them to handle that. David appeared in a wheelchair. He was completely paralyzed. Well, the David man-childs have done nothing against the bear, right? As far as physically speaking, right? In fact, done him nothing but good, actually. The bear was on the back of David's wheelchair. It wasn't attacking David. It was very calm, had a plan. I began to hit the white bear on the head two or three times with a white or off-white pocket folder, the kind we stored papers in for school. Amber's a homeschooler, so she's training her child at home. And I believe the papers represent our teachings and revelations of the faction's evil works. Because this is a spiritual school. It's parallel, by the way, to the faction in the world is because the Trump and the Patriots and so on and so forth, they have a lot of revelations on the deep state and their people and their evil works. It's running perfectly parallel there. Amber said, I thought, this is stupid. This folder can't harm the bear and may anger it. Well, yes, the bear is angry at our revelations, which convict them of sin. They hate dreams and don't believe in them after the factious demons come on them. They don't believe in them at all. They believed in them totally before, but after the demons come in, they don't believe in them all because the demons are dreams are all against them and teaching what they're doing. To, of course, preserve other people and have them wise as to Satan's devices, right? And the bear is a predator. Some of you may remember Bill had a dream one night that the predator from the movie, representing a demon, was sent by the faction to kill me. He had that revelation one night, and I didn't hear about it, but it did come to pass the next day. they didn't get their end results at all. But so I didn't know about the dream, but the next day it knocked my ladder out from under me as I was working on the second floor on the roof, and I fell on the deck on my side. This accident brought me to the door of death, literally, but God did a miracle of healing for me. And of course, it brought about the opposite results of what they wanted. It showed God's favor on me. This dream is a repeat of Bill's in that the faction has sent their demons to kill me a few times. This is in parallel with Trump, as we've received in dreams, because they've attempted quite a few times to kill him, too, and failed. The difference, although, in Bill's dream is that I was hurt temporarily, but have never been hurt in any of the other instances where they attacked. And at first, I thought this bear spirit was a spirit of condemnation because it was telling me I must have done something wrong. So I did what I usually do. I asked the Lord. In fact, I get a checkup from the Lord like this quite often. So I asked the Lord, "Are you holding anything against me?" And I got, by faith at random, Psalm 119 and 68, which says, "Thou art good and doest good." I thought, wow, that's pretty direct. Okay, thank you, Lord. So then I knew it was just an attack, right? I knew that we were headed for a cliff, she said. And when we fell, the bear would fall off David's wheelchair. And I knew that we'd be safe then. After the bear fell off, we'd be safe then. Okay. Well, it's interesting. The next day I was on the tractor. And if you picture just the wheels underneath the driver, it looks kind of like a motorized wheelchair. You know, the wheels underneath the seat, the driver sitting in the seat, so on and so forth. And I was using the tractor to push leaves down the steep and very long driveway that we have. It's blacktopped. Was pushing it down the driveway. I was pushing it and scooping it and then lifting them a little in the bucket to dump them off the side of the raised road, which kind of made a little cliff there, you know. Tractors don't have a really good independent suspension, like, for instance, a four-wheeler or something like that. If you go over a ridge or go down an embankment or something like that, you want your front two tires to be parallel with the embankment because it won't take a lot of one wheel falling down and one not. It won't take that very good. It gets very scary sometimes if you do that. And, of course, this is a mountain here, so. So there were already leaves all over the ground from the many trees, and it appeared that the edge of the raised ground of the road was evident. It appeared that it looked very clear. Later, we saw that there was nothing under some of those leaves, but more leaves and mud, no dirt. And actually, Michael dropped two tractor bucket loads of dirt into the hole afterwards. Now let me explain the hole to you. So suddenly the ground went completely out from under my right front wheel. And as I say, tractors can't take this. They tend to tip. And the tractor flipped up on its side on probably a 45 or 50 degree angle, I would guess. The left rear wheel came off the ground quite a bit. And so far you can see the wheelchair going off a cliff here, right? This sudden lurch threw me from the seat to the right. And I had my left hand still on the steering wheel and the other hand on the front loader arm, which was right under my head. So I was thrown forward and off to the right side, you know. Now, this kind of positioned me under the tractor as it was rolling. And I was looking straight down at the ground at the time. But surprisingly, the tractor then flipped back to the upright position. And I remember thinking at the time that I was surprised that the thing stopped and went back, you know. But I only had time to react, so I slid back into the seat and dropped the bucket to stabilize the tractor. And when I then tried to pick the bucket back up to try to back out of the hole, it started tipping again because one wheel was down in the hole. Yeah, and the two back wheels were on a parallel surface, so that made the left rear wheel come off the ground. And of course, I stopped that. I put the bucket back down to stabilize it. But the thing that surprised me was I was much further over than this when it tipped back, which makes me believe that my Psalm 91 angel did this, because it was tipping, you know, as I just let lifted the front bucket, which of course dropped the wheel down in the hole. It was tipping then. So I was a lot further over when the thing stopped and straightened back up. And I finally figured out, wait a minute, that is not normal. That's why I figured it must have been an angel that flipped it back up. Michael had been further back on the driveway behind me, blowing the leaves after I scooped some in front. I was breaking them loose in the front with the tractor and getting some of them, and he was coming behind and cleaning up really with the blower. So I called Brandy, who was at the top of the mountain, and I asked him to bring his truck down the mountain to try to pull the tractor back enough to stabilize it. In other words, getting both front wheels on dirt. But his tires just slipped on the driveway. He wasn't able to pull the tractor at all. I went and got the neighbor's tractor, and we pulled it out. Well, interestingly enough, the next two dreams Amber had, all these dreams were one right after another, that night, were about me dying and then resurrecting. Well, that was the plan, I'm quite sure, from her dream and from other things. I was planned by the bear to die in my wheelchair going off the cliff, but he failed. And then he left the scene, just as her dream said would happen after the wheelchair went off the cliff, right? He failed and he left. So back to Amber here. She said, I went back to sleep and had another set of dreams. David was packing his suitcase to go somewhere. His suitcase was like vintage Samsonite luggage with a hard shell, and it was opened on the front of his living room, on the floor, excuse me, of his living room. And David was very chipper as he got his items packed and ready to go. Yes, I never have been worried about death in a long time. Reason I say that is Amber said to me, she said, this phrase, packed and ready to go, is used when someone is prepared to leave this world and go to heaven. And she shared with me how her grandmother, for some time before she died, used this term, packed and ready to go. So I was chipper about it because I really have never really worried about that. I think I'm so totally convinced heaven is a better place than this that it doesn't worry me. I thought about the man-child being prepared and ready to go in death and resurrection to the throne, because we know that there is a death coming for the man-child, and spiritually speaking, 3 days later, there's a resurrection and to the throne, and this is, of course, where the man-child gets his crowning or anointing or authority. The throne authority, right? Some people think that the man-child's caught away to heaven and he doesn't come back, but no. As we know from all man-child in history, the man-child's purpose is to come to the throne in order to prepare the people of God and to save the people of God. And this, by the way, Solomon said that the throne of David was God's throne. That's right. It's his throne on earth. So catching up to the throne, meant that Solomon, the Prince of Peace, who followed David, had an earthly ministry here, right? So I remembered the dreams that revealed parallels between David and President Trump, especially the part where the faction tried to assassinate him many times, and it has been true of me also as a type of the man-child. In other words, to show this picture to the man-child, right? And to repeat history. Herod, as the head of the beast, tried to assassinate the man-child Jesus. And, of course, he missed him, but he took out a lot of his contemporaries. Now, I've seen a lot of people die to the faction. They're a murderous bunch, although they don't consider it that. They think they're doing God a favor, as the Bible says, by killing people with slander. And, if you sit and listen to a slanderous person, a person who is factious, who wants to divide you away, that means they have a factious demon, and they use slander to separate people from other people, especially people that are good, because these are demons, and they hate us receiving any truth or living a righteous life. So these people fulfill the will of those demons. And you can see it in the government very clearly. A person that is not familiar with our history can look out there and see what the Democrats in the House were trying to do to Trump and what they've done to resist him and to destroy his works from the beginning. They have a fierce hatred. They're demonically possessed people. The parallel runs true. They have tried quite a few times to kill Trump and failed. And they've tried quite a few times through demon spirits, through their prayers, through their curses, through their turning me over to the devil, if they want to use a biblical terminology, which is not true. They're attacking with witchcraft spirits. Well, the dragon in Revelation 12 tried to devour the man-child. And dragon, of course, is Satan in a body of people. So what body of people is trying to devour the man-child? That's right, the faction. And it's happening all over the earth. And, of course, what they want the man-child to do is fail. And the demons want to provoke the man-child to do something out of the way and get off the path. And so the dragon would be able to devour the man-child, right? The dragon of Revelation 12, what does it mean to devour? It means to make it a part of his body. You see, when the faction has devoured someone, they make them a part of the devil's body. You see, because the dragon is what? The devil in a body of people. The devil in a seven-head, ten-horned body of people. Those seven heads and ten horns incorporate all of the beasts of the earth. And, of course, they turn into a beast when they receive those demons, because the Lord has reprobated them and for their sins. So the faction tried to assassinate me by the predator taking out my ladder, sliding down the cell tower hill on ice with Michael one time, stopping on the very edge of the cliff. At that particular time, I literally jumped out of the truck and ran around there to look carefully. And the back edge of the tire where it touched the ground was just like, a quarter of an inch from the cliff, so. And then there was the car that pulled into my path as I was on my motorcycle with no place else to go because the other lane was blocked by an oncoming truck. And in that instance, I could not imagine. Here's cars coming down the highway, and this person evidently didn't even look in front of them. They just pulled right on out, you know. And the Lord arrested that person and made them back up just enough for me to get by them because I couldn't go into the other lane. And literally they turned left on the right side of the road, going down the wrong side of the road, and went in the opposite direction I was going. I mean, this person must have been on something. But they were sent to do a job and it failed. And another time was when I was asked to come and show some folks about a huge horse that they had on their property, how to ride it and so on. And so I went because I've had a lot of horse riding experience. And his girth strap broke. I mean, there was an old saddle there, you know, that we were using, and evidently it had dry rotted. And the girth strap broke and swung me underneath this huge horse as he danced around trying to miss me. And I was looking at his feet, you know, I was looking at his hooves as he stomped around on the ground all around me and didn't get me. In fact, I wasn't hurt at all, even after falling off of that very tall horse, you know. I wasn't hurt in the slightest. So again, they missed me. Some of these I've had dreams or revelations that showed me that this was what was happening. These were curses being sent towards me. In another case, we were loading a tractor on a trailer. And, you know, when you come up behind the wheels on the trailer with a heavy tractor, well, it lifts the front of the trailer up, and what it did is it picked the truck up, the back end of the very light truck, a Chevrolet truck, picked it up just enough for the wheels to have no traction on the ground, and the emergency brake didn't hold, so then it took off down the mountain with me halfway on the back of the trailer on top of the tractor, which was halfway on the trailer. The back wheels were on the ramps, and the front wheels were on the back of the trailer behind the axles. So you can see how it could tip it up, and it did. And we did not think it was heavy enough to do that, and so we put emergency brake on and drive it on flat ground. It was never a problem, but suddenly when there was a little bit of a slope, from then on we no longer trusted anything but chocking the wheels. But it took off, you know, going down the driveway and down the mountain. And I was hollering, whoa, whoa, whoa. And then Michael came out of the shed and he was hollering, whoa, whoa, because neither one of us figured this was going to happen. And suddenly the truck jackknifed with the trailer and stopped. So another failure to get me, basically. And another case I can remember was I was walking out behind my house where I first came here, and heard a rattlesnake very, very close to me, right at my feet, just rattling away. It never did strike me, and I just held still very patiently. And in a few minutes, I heard it crawling off through the leaves, which were very dry and crackly. You know, I heard it crawling on off. And so then I turned around and walked back to the house. It wasn't permitted to bite me. So, and now the bear that tried to kill me but couldn't even hurt me. And this may have been their last chance because Amber then said, I knew that we'd be safe then. Yeah. Well, when I shared this attempted assassination with the local assembly, of course, Brandy and Michael, they knew about it. But they didn't know the interpretation of Amber's dream, and I began to share that. So when I started sharing this with the local assembly, I knew before I started that somebody was going to bring a confirmation of this. So then Brandy then reminded me of a vision he had twice of me being dead on the driveway, which I had forgotten about. And Brandy went on to say something that I didn't know, which was that I was laying in that vision exactly where this tractor accident happened. So, sure enough, the next dream had me dead as Satan and his faction had planned. The next dream in this series of dreams that she had that night. And she said, I can't remember much about the next dream except that, but the only thing she did remember was the important thing here, except that David had died, but that he had also come back to life. So I thought about death to self and resurrection to the throne. And I believe that all of this is probably pointing towards this soon happening here. Okay. She said not everyone had heard the news. Sue Farah or Deb Finsky came up to me. She didn't know which one it was. Came up to me, and I was getting into a car to go somewhere, and she was a bit worried that David had died and was asking me for clarification before I left. I was also chipper and reassured her that David had come back to life and there was no cause for worry. Well, amen. I'll go for that. So, thinking about a little bit of prophetic timing here, some thoughts came to me. Can't say that they are absolute and sure, but these thoughts came to me. I'm sure that this type is right. The timing could be something further in the future, but I don't think so. Okay? And this is the death and resurrection prophetic timing that this is pointing to. Do you recognize that President Trump has been saying Easter is going to be special? He's obviously threatening his enemies somewhat. He called it a fitting time this year. A time to go back to work. Other things he said about Easter that I thought was very interesting. So, Passover and unleavened bread this year is from April 8th through the 16th. And Easter is right in the middle of this time on the 12th. So Passover is when the man-child Jesus died, and Easter is when he was resurrected. You catching my drift here? So we're coming to a timing that also represents this death, burial, and resurrection. Okay. Something else we need to remember, kind of like the bear falling off, failing, and is that factious Judas, who betrayed the man-child, died too. He died. And of course, we've had dreams about that happening. Okay. So, and this is why Amber said, I knew that we'd be safe then. Okay. In Eve's dream, one of Eve's dreams, she and others had finished preparing the bride for the groom. Just as the factious leaders died. Well, that kind of fits, you know, the resurrection of the groom and the preparation of the bride happening close to the same time, and at the same time, the factious leaders died. And, of course, we knew what the dream was talking about, that it looked like it was from the plague, right? The purpose for the faction is to crucify the bride and the man-child like Judas did Jesus, right? And when they have matured the bride and the man-child, they may go no further. In other dreams, these Judases died in the midst of the plague. The factions, and I do believe we're coming to the midst of the plague. I'm not, some people are saying we're coming to the end of it very quickly, but they don't understand that this is not a natural thing that you can look out and calculate, because there is a wild card out there. And the wild card is they are spraying it from the air. They only let it come into the country in a natural, normal way through flight and so on and so forth to make it look like it was natural. But then they sprayed it in the country. So anyway, the factions' attempts to kill me as a type of the David man-child body with their witchcraft curses will come on their own heads, as God has said over and over. Those that lay a trap fall into it themselves. Those that set a snare fall into it themselves, right? It comes upon their own heads, the Bible says, you know. Of course, it came on Judas's head. Now, they don't believe a word I'm saying, so don't worry about it. I'm not giving away any secrets here. So thinking about this, the day that I began to interpret this dream, or had time to actually think on it and meditate on it, we were given in our morning meeting by Faith at Random some verses. Deb Horton got Jeremiah 4 and 13. Behold, he shall come up as clouds. Clouds. And his chariots shall be as the whirlwind. His horses are swifter than eagles. So he's comparing them to clouds and eagles. Woe unto us, for we are ruined. Well, the apostates were speaking literally about the coming of Babylon to destroy them. And we've talked about this quite a bit, that we knew that the Babylon deep state is in the process of attempting to destroy the apostates, including Judah, as clouds. Could that be chem clouds? Anybody seen any chem clouds lately? I can tell you that since the disease started coming into the country, I know two times they have sprayed. Now, they can't spray, and I pointed out that it's not all of the planes that are doing this. It's just a few of them that are doing this, and they can't make it look like somebody obviously did this. It has to be more natural looking. So they came as the clouds. Who? The Babylonians. Who? The deep state. They came as the clouds, chem clouds, and as eagles. Of course, the Babylonian symbol was the eagle. And, of course, America's symbol is the eagle. But eagles also can represent planes spraying coronavirus clouds, which the Lord said would happen. And, again, I've been warning since more than 2.5 years ago. I started warning what I knew before that, and was told before that in dreams and revelations that the deep state was going to spread a disease by air. And you can go on the site and read this. It's been there. I even notified the president. Who knows whether he got the email or not? I don't know. But I sent it by the right channel anyway. And back then, that this was going to happen. So, you know, you can figure on the natural progression of a disease sweeping through a country. You can figure it out if you know the truth about the numbers, which they have never known the truth about the numbers. And that's because they're hiding this. There are people that are catching this all the time, and they're just living through it, thinking it's the flu. So they don't really know what's going on here, and they can't keep track of the numbers because there's too many liars out there. Right. So, and besides that, there's two different forms of this. It started out as the L strain in Wuhan, which was very deadly, and it swept through China, etc., into other countries, and it split in an S strain. It split off from it, morphed from it, and it's far less dangerous. And at any rate, I think they said something like 80% was the S strain and 10% or 20%, excuse me, is the L strain, which is very deadly. And so that's kind of what I think is going on here. And a lot of people that get it don't even know they got it. They think it might be the flu or whatever. You know, I have no idea. But they don't have the numbers, and they don't know who's got it. And so their calculations have all been wrong. So remember this, that the Medo-Persian Cyrus destroys the factious Babylonian deep state leftists, you know, according to the Bible. And we know Trump is Cyrus. He told us that long before he was elected. And we told you that before he was elected, that he was definitely going in there because of this, that he's going to fulfill this prophecy. So that's one verse we got. Another one Michael Hare got, and he asked a question before he got his word. What's going to happen to the deep state demon rats? That's what he said. And he got Jeremiah 51:58. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the broad walls of Babylon shall be utterly overthrown. You understand that the end of this war, and we're not saying the war is over. I don't think the deep state's thrown the last punch at all. Okay. But the ultimate end of this is the world is going to rise up against them and bring them down, just as the nations gathered together against Babylon. The broad walls of Babylon shall be utterly overthrown, and her high gates shall be burned with fire. In other words, they can't keep their enemies out. And there's some awesome things happening behind the scenes, folks. The criminals, their kingdom is crumbling. And the people shall labor for vanity, and the nations for the fire. They shall be weary. I believe they are weary because they're being discovered and they're being locked up, and they know the enemy has all the information on them. Trump owns the NSA, basically. He's got all the information that's coming into the government, you know. So they're desperate and they're flailing out. They're not it's amazing that the deep state people can be found and seen. For instance, one hospital, they were ordered not to wear the breathing masks. Now, what would that do except spread the virus? You see, that's deep state people. Other things were done to purposely spread the virus. Who's doing that? That's these leftists. They want this to happen. They've even said so publicly that they want this plague to happen because they think it'll overthrow Trump. It's not going to. So, that's amazing that they'd be willing to kill that many people in order to remove him. Well, you know, our faction is pretty much the same way. They're willing to kill a lot of people to try to get at me. Well, failing to kill the man-child reformers is going to bring about the destruction of Satan's plans to destroy the church in the tribulation. It is just going to fail it. Jesus came at the right time, and the man-child is coming. Jesus in the man-child is coming at the right time now. It's awesome what the Lord is doing. Okay, this is a revelation from Vanessa Weeks, and she got this on March the 13th of this 2020. Waiting for Man-Child Messiah is what she named it. And she said, in this amazing dream, Barry and I were standing in a room talking to a young man. He was dressed in dress pants and a button-down short-sleeve shirt. The shirt was dark blue, representing heavenly, I guess, and had little flowers printed in it, on it, representing fruit, maybe. He was thin, and I remember that I was hugging him. And as I did this, these things were going through my mind. I thought, I'm waiting for the man-child as Israel is waiting for the Messiah, which is the same person. You hear what she said in her dream? Which is the same person, but they don't know it. This is true. And, of course, we've been saying that too. It's not that the man-child body is that person. It's the one who is coming in the man-child body who is that person. Just as Jesus came in a body of the Son of David, so he comes in a corporate body to do the same work in our day. History repeats on a larger scale every time it repeats, right? So this is what's happening. That's what the Lord spoke to me by word of knowledge many years ago. It just keeps growing and growing because there are more people on the earth, and now we're talking about corporate bodies, not an individual body. Remember when Jesus left, there was left a corporate body called the body of Christ. Yes. And every other body has a body too, you see. Every other person who was a part of the original scheme has been repeated in larger groups of people. And the book of Revelation is full of that. All the characters in the book of Revelation are corporate characters. The man-child is, the woman is, the beast is, etc., etc. Son of perdition is, etc., etc. They're all corporate bodies. And in other words, they incorporate many, many people. The seven-head, ten-horned beast is a corporate body, right? So people don't know that, so they can't interpret the book of Revelation. And they don't know that people all around them are these characters. Okay. Of course, Jesus comes in this man-child body by his word. In other words, we put the word in our heart and it recreates in us, Christ in you, the hope of glory, right? So Jesus is coming in the man-child by his word and his spirit. The spirit that was in Jesus, of course, the Holy Spirit, will be manifested in that latter rain anointing in these Davids first. Just as the former rain anointing came in Jesus first and then on his disciples, it's going to happen the same way this time. The man-child this time is going to receive the latter rain anointing first. And, of course, that is so that these people will be reformers to the church in our day. Amen. And then she went on to say, then I realized what needed to happen for the man-child to be revealed, but this is what I don't remember. Well, I've got a pretty good guess, okay? She said, but I knew that it was not an event, but something that needed to happen in people. Yes, that's right. Because for this to happen, the man-child body must go through spiritual death and resurrection to the throne of David, which Solomon called God's throne. So this has to happen. This death to self and this resurrection of the life of Jesus, which is the word sown in us, which bears the fruit according to the parable of the sower. You see, these are just the first fruits of the body itself coming, the body of Christ itself coming into this revelation and this good news of the gospel of Christ in you, the hope of glory. See, the man-child is just coming to bring this revelation so that the church itself can enter in to this purity that is Christ in you. Okay? And then she said, it was as if in a vision I saw these people all around us, and they all had blonde hair. Well, notice that this is a corporate body of people. They were all around us. And hair represents submission in 1 Corinthians 10 and 11. In that case, it was of a woman's submission to her husband. And of course, the woman, of course, being the church, has to be in submission to her husband, which is Christ, right? So this is a sign of submission, 1 Corinthians 11. And blonde represents submission to the sun. Many times, sometimes people have dark hair, and that could be submission to darkness, okay? But this is submission to the sun, S-O-N/S-U-N, if you catch what I'm doing here. So she said, I asked the Lord what needed to happen to people for the man-child to be revealed and received by faith at random, Nehemiah 3 and 16. After him repaired Nehemiah, the son of Azbuk, the ruler of half of the district of Beth-Zur. Repaired? What are they repairing? They're repairing the wall. Unto the place over against the sepulchres. Notice it's a plural here. The sepulchres of David. And unto the pool that was made. And unto the house of the mighty men. Well, notice. Sepulchres here is plural. And David is a corporate body. A sepulcher is a place of death. And in Jesus and the man-child situation, it's a place of resurrection. Oh, you see how exact God can get when you ask him by faith to give you a word and you open the Bible and stick your finger down? How awesomely accurate he can be? It's not you. It's him. It's your faith in him. Repairing the wall about Jerusalem, which John was told was the bride, right? Repairing the wall around the bride is what the man-child body does. It's what Jesus did when he came to this earth. He picked out a bride. John said, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom. Those first fruits to follow Jesus were the bride. And he was separating them from the world. A wall represents sanctification, which means separation from the worldly and the sinners unto God. And God is doing that, you see. So when Jesus came, of course, and he started a 3.5-year ministry, and he first sanctified the bride, and then he sent them out to the world to bring them into the same level of sanctification, right? And she said, I also received by faith at random 1 Samuel 15, 35 through 16 and 1. And Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death, for Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord repented that he had made Saul king over Israel. And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him? I want to tell you, God has rejected Saul. Yes. From being king over Israel. And God told him, fill thy horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. And, of course, we know that that was David. So God has rejected the Saul ministries, for they failed to obey his word. It's not hard to figure that out. I mean, I was probably a year old. Well, I was a month old in the Lord, actually. Well, I was a little older than that. But I only went to the first church I went to visit for a short time till I realized I was only there about a month, till I realized they didn't believe the word of God. They were culling it for every reason in the world, you know, and I left. Then I went to a full gospel type church, and I stayed there for a year, and I realized these people have leveled out, and they, you know, are not going on either. I want to go on. And so I departed from them. You see, it doesn't take long for, if you're reading the Word of God, to find out what's wrong with the system, you know. So God rejected the Saul ministries because they failed to obey his word. And he has chosen the David Manchild ministries to replace them. And, of course, the Saul ministries fight against David to keep this from happening because they like that position. You know, they lust for that position. So they fight against the Davids because they feel that he is a threat, like they felt Jesus was a threat. The same people, the forefathers of the Pharisees today, they fought against Jesus because they knew he was a threat to their status quo. They didn't want to go on with God. All they wanted to do is brag on the fact that they were the cream of the crop, right? Which they weren't. And, of course, we know the things that have been done are the things that shall be done, as Solomon said, right? So there is always a repeat of history. So we have the Saul ministries with us now, and they are, of course, failing. They've been failing for years and proving their disobedience for years, and the Lord's had enough, and he's raising up a reformer ministry to take their place. Okay? So, this next revelation was given to Andrew Galinas in March of this year, 2020. And we called it Jesus and the Man-Child Reformers Brings Revival. In my dream, I was walking with my parents just on the outskirts of a gathering of people. It looked to be around dusk or dawn in the twilight. In other words, it probably is talking about darkness coming. Yes, it is. And had a warm and cheery glow as if from an old incandescent light bulb. They're not that far behind us, you know. But I believe it's speaking of the fact that revival is first coming to those whose ancient light from the time of the scriptures has been turned on, right? We need to get back to that light. People think there's a new revelation. Now God doesn't do it this way anymore. They get stupid stuff like that, even though they don't have a verse to prove it. They do that because they want you to depart from the truth, which is the rock, which is the covenant that God made, the everlasting covenant, which means you can't change it. But they do. And because they don't have the power, they don't have the anointing, and don't have any hope to do it because their doctrine doesn't permit it. And if they did manifest it, they'd get thrown out of their religion. So since they don't have any hope, they claim it's all passed away. Yeah. And as we stood there, all of a sudden, the sign of the Son of Man appeared in the sky in the horizon over the gathering. It looked like a logo of a white dove in flight. and it seemed to be made up of thousands of angels. Well, the dove in flight represents the coming of the Holy Spirit, right? Bringing what? A great revival. Yes, it is coming. And it's administered by the angels because they make up that dove in flight. You see, they administer God's salvation, his anointing, etc., etc. And angels, of course, in the Greek means messengers. If you would have translated angelos in the New Testament, it would always be messengers, you see. But they use the word angels, which is not a translation. They kept the original word, angelos. So, and by the way, there are ministers in the New Testament, human ministers in the New Testament that are called messengers, angelos too, you see. So angels can represent something else. They can represent human messengers. I'm talking about angels in a dream that is spiritual, that and God is attempting to hide something, at the same time reveal it to those whom he wants to reveal it to. That's why he gives these prophetic dreams and doesn't just speak them all perfectly literal, right? So the Son of Man, Jesus, is coming in the man-child messenger body to start the revival. Yes, he is. And Andrew went on to say, it lingered in the sky for some time, listing slowly from west to east. Ceremonial orchestral music could also be heard. Okay. And then he went on to say, we along with the fairground-like crowd began to cheer and applaud. And I noticed when I first began to try to clap, I had my hands full of various cares of the day because I was clanging a yellow plastic baseball bat handle into a box of objects in the other hand. Well, what I saw here is that he was demonstrating that many will be too distracted with the entertainment of the world to take advantage of the revival and be a minister of it. Okay. He went on to say, as soon as I realized, I dropped the junk and joined uninhibited in the applause and continued cheering along with the crowd, who now all appeared as little children. Yes. These are the ones that are going to see. These are the ones that are going to understand. The spiritual little children who just love their father and they want to listen to their father, right? You know, Jesus said, except we all become as little children, we will not enter the kingdom. Which is, of course, symbolizing that these are people entering the kingdom, right? And, of course, the kingdom is where God is Lord. The King is the Lord by the Holy Spirit, and who is to indwell us. The Holy Spirit indwells us because Jesus said he takes of mine and declares it unto you. You need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes to build the kingdom of God, his power. You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. Have any trouble being a witness? Well, maybe you need the Holy Spirit. And Andrew went on to say, as my parents and I began to move into the crowd, my father spoke in a concerned voice. We've got to go back and get C, my younger brother, he says. But my mother reasoned that we can't leave the celebration and expressed the sentiment that hopefully he'd somehow find his way here on his own now. Well, you know, the children are going to be led to the light and know the truth. Because in Matthew 19 and 14, Jesus said, suffer the little children and forbid them not to come unto me. for to such belongeth the kingdom of heaven. So that's what these are, people that actually own the kingdom of heaven, right? Joint heirs with Christ, right? The children. Many wise theologians, God said he's hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes. Who gets the revelation? Babes. What about the wise and prudent? Well, they get the certificate. They go to Bible school and they get the certificate. The Pharisees all had certificates, but they had no authority. So the Sauls are going to be moved out of the way. We need to become as children, all of us. Don't matter whether you've gone to Bible school or not. You have to become as a child, right? I made my way quickly through the crowd of children and came to what was basically a completely circular stone couch that was carved out of the ground. Notice he went and joined the children, got rid of his toys, baseball bat and whatever, you know, all these distracting things, and he went and joined the children, praise God. And the circle, a circular stone couch, okay, the circle represents eternal. It just keeps going. There's no end to it, right? And the couch represents rest from man's works through faith in God's promises. See, the more you believe God's promises, the less you do in your flesh to try to provide for yourself, heal yourself, save yourself, all these things that you've been trained from a child to do. But we have to learn to not do, but to rest in God who has done, you see. So, we rest from man's works through faith in God's promises, and these are going to be revealed. All this revelation is going to be revealed by the man-child body. How to enter into the kingdom, how to walk in the Spirit, how to walk by faith and not sight. All these are going to be learned from the man-child body, the reformers. And carved out of the ground here represents that rest will come to the flesh, which is made from the earth, right? Rest. You know, your flesh gets anxious, troubled, fearful, on and on and on. It doesn't have rest. It brings sickness upon it, anxiety, stress, all these. It brings sickness upon it. He can give rest to your body, right? And everyone who is filled with the Holy Spirit senses more rest from their own works, and all they need is the word illuminated to them to take full advantage of this gift of grace. And guess who's got this revelation? Well, the man-child is coming with this revelation. The real good news. The real good news is not that you shake a preacher's hand and now you can go to heaven. The real good news is now you're delivered from sin and its curse. And Jesus now lives in you. And he can do it all through you. So then he said, I stepped down, I believe that means humbled self, and took a seat along with the other little children. Praise the Lord. Yes, well, that's what we have to do, humble ourselves and become as a child, right? Yes. And they enter easily into the kingdom. You can teach a child, you know, the Bible, and they will walk in it. They will do miracles. They will. It's just astounding. And God rules in them. That's why you know they've entered the kingdom, because God's kingdom authority is ruling in them. And he went on to say, none seem to be older than 10. And the verse came to me about this was Jeremiah 3:19. But I said, how will I put thee among the children and give thee a pleasant land? Notice that the children have the pleasant land, a goodly heritage of the hosts of the nations. Notice that the children have a goodly heritage. And I said, you shall call me my father, and shall not turn away from following me. That's the children. How will I put you among the children? He says. Is it going to happen? He did it with Andrew here. Yes, he put him among the children, didn't he? Then a very cheerful, smiling little boy who walked into the stone floor in the center, and I believe this is the man child, manifested in the midst, excitedly asked us, "Want to see how it all started in the beginning?" How the first man child Jesus began a revival of backslidden souls to manifest his sonship in them. You want to see how that happened? Well, that's going to be demonstrated. It's going to happen again. Many people are just religious. They haven't experienced Christ in you, the hope of glory, right? Among those who know this will be a people who will be a repetition of his story. I call it his story, which is history. A repetition of history as the man-child body of people in our day. And then the people who follow the man-child are going to come into this glory after that. The man-child is just the first fruits of Christ in you, the hope of glory, right? And these reformers will bring revival because Jesus lives in them by his Spirit and by his Word. And the little child said, "Soon you'll know how to create just like this." What is this creation? The man-child body is demonstrating how to create man in God's own image so that the children will know how to create a completely born-again man, which the churches do not know or teach. You must be born spirit, soul, and body. Did you know? And then Andrew went on to say, "Then he caused a sort of oblong pillar of flesh-like clay to rise up from the dirt ground in front of us and himself. As it slowly rose up, human eyes opened at the upper end. There be given eyes to see." Some people can't see beyond their dead religion or their preachers. They can't see beyond that. And if they try to take a step beyond that, they get chastised by their preacher, right? So they're held in bondage, right? But here's this clay rising up. And then a face began to form around it. Soon a long, straight, dark-haired human child with tan skin, dressed in a rough burlap tunic, stood there smiling at everyone. Yeah, he's smiling because he just found out how to walk in the steps of Jesus. The boy then made the genderless child become a female, and then the dream ended. Okay, let me share what I think here. The man-child demonstrates how the Word of God recreates himself in the flesh of man through faith in the promise. Second Corinthians 7:1. "Having therefore these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit." That's defilement of you by flesh and by spirit, right? "Perfecting holiness," that's sanctification, separation from the world unto God, "perfecting holiness in the fear of God." Now, we know that Paul wasn't mad. Preachers say it's not possible. Well, why in the heck would he preach it if it wasn't possible? That's stupid, right? "Having therefore these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." Ephesians 4:11. And he gave some to be apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. Oh, that's not possible, don't you know? Unto the work of ministering, unto the building up of the body of Christ. Well, what is he building the body of Christ into? The body of Christ. Until we all attain unto the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. Notice what's necessary here to lead you to this, right? The unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a full grown man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, you have to really twist these scriptures to not believe that God wants to do a miracle in us. And they're robbing God's people of their faith to believe him to do a miracle in themselves. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And Ephesians 3:16 through 20 says, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, that you may be strengthened with power through his Spirit. Notice where it comes from. That you may be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man. You can't do it. Everybody says we can't do it. Well, that ain't got nothing to do with it. We're not having faith in us. We're having faith in him. Can he do it? That's the question. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That's the Jesus Christ, the original Jesus Christ. Not the late, the Johnny come lately Jesus Christ, you know, the new church Jesus, right? That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith to the end that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be strong to apprehend, not comprehend. Comprehend is a perversion because they didn't believe it was possible to apprehend it. But the original word is apprehend. That you may be strong to apprehend with all of the saints. Saints means sanctified ones. If you're not apprehending this, you're not a saint. What is the breadth and length and height and depth of what? Christ. Of Christ. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled unto all the fullness of God. Wow. There it is again. How many times does that God have to say it? Until you walk out, close the door behind you, climb out of the playpen, and go somewhere where they believe this stuff. Do you want it? If you want it, you can't stay listening to that leaven day in and day out. They'll talk you out of it. And of course, the leader is some charismatic person that gathers people's adoration and so on and so forth. And then they're all caught up in idolatry, right? Now, unto him that is able to do. Okay, so we're saying that we're not able to do this. But we have our faith in him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Is it our power? No, it's the power of the Holy Spirit working in us. It's the power of God working in us. He's the one that's going to do it. Don't say he can't do it, because you have a weak and wimpy God. But the God of the Bible wrote this. He made this a female because it is a body to receive his seed or his word, and is a female as the church is, and will come into the resurrection life of Jesus. So, what an awesome revelation. Here's Andrew Gelinas again. And we call this Man-Child Wakes the Bride and the Church. Because God, Jesus used the bride to go to the church. Right? Did you not? Yeah. And Andrew said, in my dream, I was talking with a man and a woman in a modest-sized cabin with a lot, with a loft in the vaulted ceiling. Amen. As I spoke with them about what I can't quite remember, I suddenly realized that my middle son, Riley, whom we have nicknamed the Man-Child, isn't that interesting? They nicknamed their child the Man-Child. And this wasn't just in the dream. This was before the dream, okay? And the Man-Child had climbed up a ladder to the loft above. I climbed up to retrieve him. And when I arrived at the top, I discovered that he had been jumping on a very comfy-looking bed. Waking a woman up from what I perceived to be a very deep sleep. She became very agitated as she reluctantly rolled out of bed. But he did get her woken up, right? The Man-Child succeeded in awakening the bride. So, Andrew says, I helped Riley down the ladder where the man and woman were now trying to explain the gospel to the little girl. To a little girl. What I saw here is that those coming out of the old order are not yet experienced. I mean, when you come to this revelation, you want to give it to everybody. But they're not yet experienced at raising up the bride's little sister, as in Song of Solomon. The little sister's down on the first floor, but the bride's up on the second floor, right? A little bit more mature, right? So the little sister, the bride was working on her little sister in Song of Solomon to get her ready to meet Solomon, the Prince of Peace, right? Many have met with failure in this regard, but the spirit and the knowledge is about to be poured out to accomplish this. Andrew went on to say, they were going into far too much detail, overwhelming the poor child. Have you ever done that? Yeah. She looked confused and upset while trying to process the information being blasted at her like a fire hose. I then stepped in and took the couple aside, and I explained that she's only a child and needs to have the gospel explained in a very simple way that she can understand. Well, let me say this. You know, in him saying that she needed the gospel, it does not mean that she was lost. Many falsely think that the gospel is only for the lost, but many immature Christians do not understand enough of the gospel to grow up in Jesus. The gospel is that Jesus has already saved us from sin, healed us, delivered us, provided for us, because we believe the promises. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, but we all with an unveiled face. See, when God gives that gift of unveiling, those under the law have a veiled face. Those under the law of Christian churches have a veiled face. That's a law too, okay? So, but we all with an unveiled face, when you climb out the playpen, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, which, of course, you're saying that the one who lives in me is Jesus, because you're looking in the mirror seeing him, right? Beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are transformed into the same image from glory to glory. That's how faith works. Faith in God works, because he works when you have faith. And if you just got acknowledgement, accepting Jesus as your personal Savior, you may not ever come to this glory. Even as from the Lord the Spirit. Notice, where does it come from? It comes from God. It's a gift from God because of your faith. Faith is believing you have received before you see it with your eyes. As Paul taught, we died with Christ and no longer live. Christ lives in us by faith. Do you believe it? That's how this system works. That's how the kingdom works. And this is how he increasingly comes in us. Many immature Christians are veiled to the true meaning and extent of the gospel. And as Paul taught, we have to be weak to the weak so that they can grasp the truth, which is so much more than they have heard. You know, if they haven't heard it before, they tend to not believe it. So you have to be very graceful and very slow and be weak to the weak. Then I comforted the little girl and proceeded to tell her the good news in the most elementary fashion I could. She lit up with joy as I spoke and could now understand every word. So here's the little sister getting unveiled. The man and woman also became amazed and excited at how simple and easy it could be explained. Yes, when you evangelize people that don't have your Christian background, you know you have to do this. If you'll notice, most evangelists that are gifted in bringing people into the kingdom, they speak only in very simple terms. Yeah. We then sat down in the living room where we began to discuss the timing of the Lord's return. As I was roughly quoting from Matthew 24 and 36, no one knows the day nor the hour, not even the angels in heaven. The three of us started hearing faint music coming from a great distance away. It almost sounded like a movie score. The man said, "It's like a movie or something." I stood up, and as the music sounded like it was coming closer by the second, as I stepped outside, I heard both the angels and the saints from every culture and people who've ever walked the face of the earth, all the way back to Adam, singing a hallelujah song in perfect harmony. Well, let me say that there's two ways you can see this. Number one, the coming of the Lord with his saints from all ages, which is at the end of the tribulation period. And Andrew pointed this out clearly. But also, let me say this. The saints and the angels are witnesses and rejoice as the true gospel turns sinners into saints. Hebrews 12 and 1. Therefore, let us also, seeing that we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So we are compassed about with this great cloud of witnesses. They're cheering us on. They want us to be victorious, you know. And Andrew said, if you've ever heard the music from the James Cameron movie Avatar, with its uplifting, celebratory African tribal sounding choir and epic instrumentation, that's the closest comparison I can make. I'd hear a long and beautiful hallelujah melody followed by a huge, earth-shaking, 100,000-strong trumpet blast in the same key. I would equate it to the sound of a hard rock guitar player striking all six strings at once on a low E major power chord and letting it ring out through a 10-story wall of speaker cabinets with the volume of at 11, finished by a thunderous cascading drum beat starting fast and steadily slowing to a halt. And I just had a thought here that the revelations given will bring great fanfare in heaven because they know that these people have entered the kingdom of God. When do you, let me say this, when you enter the kingdom, what, in type, when the Israelites, you know, went through the Passover, went out to the Red Sea. Paul said they were baptized in the sea and in the cloud, which is water baptism and spirit baptism. And then they had a great celebration because their enemies were broken from off their backs. And if this is a baptism, then their enemies here represented the old man. Have you struggled against sin only to find out the good news of the gospel sets you free from that old man? That's a cause for celebration. And when you get that revelation, even the saints in heaven celebrate with you. Okay. He goes on to say this music sequence repeated a second time as it now seemed as if the parade had arrived directly overhead and the volume had grown to that of an arena concert. And as I stood mesmerizing at it all, I saw the clouds in the distance transform into thousands of colorful rubber balloons and in one accord, in one even level. They all dropped down very quickly to just above the ground level. Just as rapidly as they descended, they all ascended and flew out of sight. Only on the return flight, every balloon had a person holding tight to each string as they flew up and away. I gasped, a terrified, oh no, because for a split second, I thought I had missed it. Oh, no, the rapture was true. No, he didn't say that, but he's going to make a comment about that. And then as if the balloons were working in 100 square mile sections, the section in the distance disappeared. And the very second the first ones vanished, the clouds in the acreage directly overhead transformed into thousands of colorful balloons again. And in the same fashion, lowered just enough for me to grab hold of a golden ribbon string. The very instant I took hold, it took off like a supersonic rocket. I felt a tremendous G-force weight bearing down on me, but was amazed to feel that it had no effect whatsoever on my grip of the tiny little string. In fact, it felt as if I could release it if I wanted to, as if a pair of invisible hands were covering mine. And as I looked down at the quickly shrinking earth, I had one final split-second panic attack when I suddenly thought, my kids! Then in that very same instant, I heard just over my left shoulder two of my sons laughing and screaming hysterically, and it was the nearly out-of-breath laughter, the kind that would ensue while jumping in a giant inflatable bounce house at a cake-fueled birthday party. I turned to see them, and they were both holding on to the same string with the biggest smile on their faces. And upon seeing that wonderful sight, I was overcome with pure joy and woke up laughing deeply to myself. Well, I believe this is the great revival sweeping parents and children into the heavenly places in Christ. Do you understand that there is a spiritual heavenly place in Christ? It's not the rapture. And I know that he doesn't believe this either, because he makes a comment about this. Let's see. In reality, I don't subscribe to the very popular pre-tribulation all-fly-away doctrine that I've learned to discredit after studying the Bible for myself. And I don't believe that is what is being shown here. Rather, it is giving a small glimpse of the level of excitement and celebration believers should expect to experience. Yes, when you know the real gospel, it brings joy to your soul. And even the watchers that we're compassed about, this great cloud of witnesses, they are rejoicing when we get the revelation and hold fast to it, right? Just imagine Israel suddenly delivered from the Egyptian old man after passing through the Red Sea to enter the wilderness. Yeah. They suddenly realize that God was on their side to deliver them from bondage. And they had a great celebration on the other side of the Red Sea, didn't they? Which is where the tribulation and the first trumpet, you heard about the trumpet, right, begins. Imagine the fall of the satanic deep state and our freedom. They are caught up to heavenly places in Christ Jesus. See, when you're abiding in Christ, that's what you're learning to do, is abide in heavenly places. You are caught up to the throne eventually to exercise his authority on this earth, right? And by the way, heavenly places in Christ Jesus is where every blessing and provision is. You have now entered into all of the blessings and provision of God. So learning to abide in Christ is a process that can be quickened by being filled with the Holy Spirit like they were in the pillar of cloud, and being humble to his word, which is kind of like being baptized in the sea where it puts to death the old man, right? And of course, many of God's people don't get these revelations because they don't read the word and expect the Holy Spirit to speak to them. Ephesians 1, 2 through 4. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, listen, hath blessed, that's past tense, hath blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Where are the heavenly places? In Christ. If you're abiding in Christ, you're able to partake of the benefits of the saints. Verse 4, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blemish before him in love. He chose us to come to holiness, blemishless relationship with him. Now, some people say, oh, that only happens when you go to heaven. Well, you're going to miss it if you think that. Because we're here. We're planted in the earth to bear the fruit. It's on the earth that the fruit is picked. The fruit is the result of what grows out of the ground, the earth. Here you bear fruit. It's not when you go to heaven. If you don't bear fruit here, you're not going to heaven. Jesus made it plain in Matthew 13. In John 8:31, Jesus therefore said to those Jews that had believed him. Oh, they believed him. There's a condition, even after you believe him. Notice, if you abide in my word, then are you truly my disciples? You see, there's a test coming to see if you can be shaken loose from the word because you respect the world and the things of the world more. Yes, it's the trial of your faith. This will separate those who don't value the kingdom above everything. 1 John 2:28, and now my little children, there they are, abide in him, that if he shall be manifested, notice it's an if, not a when. King James puts when. There's no when there. It's an if. Because if him being manifested in you is conditional. This is what it's talking about. A manifestation, a shining forth from. It's a shining forth of the glory in you. It's shining forth from you to others. So it's his manifestation in us. that we may have boldness and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Why would you not be ashamed before him at his coming? Because you look like him. Kids are supposed to look like their father. If they don't, you think something strange happened, right? Some other seed was sown there, right? Yeah. 1 John 4:13. Hereby we know that we abide in him and he in us. So that's heavenly places. That's in Christ, right? Hereby we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. If you're missing out on his Spirit, you need to get it. Because if you get the Spirit, you're going to get some of those gifts he talks about in 1 Corinthians 12:13, right? John 15:5. I am the vine and you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same beareth much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Yeah. If you abide in him, it is conditional. You have to continue to abide in him to receive the sap that brings forth the fruit, right? You have to continue. If you don't, they pluck you up and throw you in the fire, as he said in John 15. 1 John 2:6. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. So you're learning how to walk in the steps of Jesus just like the first disciples. That's why they called them disciples. They were learners and followers, mathetes. That's what a disciple is. The first disciples went out to make disciples and taught them to obey everything that Jesus told the first disciples. And so who got in there and destroyed it all? Well, it's those preachers, these dead denominations. 1 John 3:6, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither knoweth him. So you see, if a person continues on in their sins, they don't know him. I don't care what they say. John 15:4. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. And he's talking to people that believe him, to abide in him, to stay in him, to live in him. So neither can you, except you abide in me. You can't bear any fruit if you don't abide in him. And of course, 15:6 says, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. So you see that unconditional garbage is just that. And John 15:7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatsoever you will, it shall be done unto you. Do you have that kind of success in prayer? Let me say that again. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatsoever you will, it shall be done unto you. 1 John 2:24. As for you, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning, the seed of the word. It has to be the one that was given in the beginning, not what the modern church teaches. It's the only one that has the power to bring forth Christ. It's his word. If that which you heard from the beginning abide in you, you also shall abide in the Son and in the Father. Which is what? Heavenly places in Christ Jesus, where everything is supplied. Wow. Isn't that awesome? And by the way, those who dwell on the earth are earthbound. You're not in heavenly places. You're earthbound. You can't dwell in heavenly places in Christ if you're bound to the earth. You're like an ostrich, not an eagle. Those who dwell on the earth can be crushed by the earthly. Revelation 13:6, all of this, of course, is speaking a parable. Revelation 13:6, and he opened his mouth for blasphemies against God. That's the beast, right? To blaspheme his name, and his tabernacle. Tabernacle is the portable temple, which what? Goes through the wilderness, right? Oh, we're going through the wilderness? Yes. The Israelites went through the wilderness. The wilderness is what? Revelation 12 and Revelation 17 tells you the wilderness is the tribulation. Yes. And he blasphemes his tabernacle, even them that dwell in the heaven. He's not talking about people that are physically in heaven. He's talking about those who are not dwelling upon the earth. They're in heavenly places in Christ, but he can't touch them. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. What is he talking about overcoming them? Their flesh. The beast is here to crucify the flesh, just like the beast crucified Jesus' flesh. Guess what happened then? He was caught up to the throne. And there was given to him authority over every tribe and people and tongue and nation. Yes, authority. To him that overcometh will I give authority, Jesus said. You don't get authority by Bible schools. You get authority by believing and walking in the Word of God and walking in heavenly places in Christ. He gives authority to those people. And all that dwell on the earth shall worship him. Wait a minute. There is people on the earth that are Christians, but they're not dwelling upon the earth. They're dwelling in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And notice he can't touch them. He went after the ones that dwell upon the earth. And everyone whose name hath not been written from the foundation of the world in the book of the life of the Lamb that hath been slain. There's lots of religious people out there that claim Christianity. But Christian is Christ-like. Okay, here's another one given to Andrew Galinas in 2019. Man-child on the railroad track. In my dream, some travelers, my 7-year-old son, Riley, also known as the man-child, which is the name they gave him from his birth, and I are walking along a railroad track. We have a small cart on the track loaded with what looks like food, snacks, and sweets. So they got their provision in the wilderness, right? We came to a slight hill at the pinnacle. There's an intersection where two people are pushing a cart of some sort across the tracks. They're not going with the tracks. The tracks are laid down so that you can stay on track, right? Okay, but these are going across the tracks. So we stop to rest as they cross over. There's also a police car waiting to cross from left to right. And as we wait, Riley, that is the man-child, and I begin to goof around together. He picks me up on his back about 5 inches off the ground. Hey, that's pretty good for a 7-year-old. Several times. And I exclaimed to the others around, look how he can hold me. Yeah, the man-child body in many dreams and in types of the man-child in the scripture is endowed with supernatural but spiritual strength to carry the body into the wilderness. Supernatural but spiritual strength. Wow, this is so good, isn't it? I think we'll probably do a part 2 after this because we got some more to share. Well, Father, thank you so much for your awesome gospel. How few of your people are partaking of it, but thank God you're sending reformers that are going to speak the truth and bring your people into the power of the gospel, the power that you give when people walk by faith in the Word rather than faith in what they have, what they've done, what they've received from religion, etc., etc. That's where the Pharisees were, Lord. Please deliver your people. Thank you, Lord, for sending the man child. Thank you, Lord, that we can abide in Christ, which is heavenly places, where every spiritual blessing is provided, according to your word in Ephesians. Thank you, Lord. You've provided it all, and yet many don't know that. Many are trying to carry their loads into the wilderness, but they're not on the tracks. And that won't work, because there'll always be people there to steal it and to kill them and to do all these kinds of things. But, you know, if we store up our treasures in heavenly places in Christ, they can't do anything about that. And we'll have it everywhere we go. And we won't have to worry about a thing. We will be in the rest, ceasing from our own works and entering into His rest, His real New Testament spiritual Sabbath. Amen. Father, I ask that all those that are joining us today would understand the things that we're talking about here and understand that You provide for spiritual maturity, for spiritual perfection. You provide that, and You give it to those whom You will. And you can't have it by denying the Word of God because some religion told you it's no good anymore. And you can't have it if you don't hold fast the confession of your hope, that it waver not, for He is faithful that promised. You can't have it. So, Lord, we ask You that Your people would get the revelation of the life of faith. The righteous shall live from their faith. Their faith will give them life, the life of Christ. Faith is believing You have received, as Jesus said, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received them, and you shall have them. Why are these people not having that success, Lord? Because they don't believe in the power of faith, which is believing outside of our sight. It is not by sight, but by faith that we receive these powers from God. Thank You, Lord, for the miracles You're doing among Your people and in Your people who believe Your promises, some of those that we just got through reading. Thank You, Lord, for doing this for Your people. Thank You, Lord, that You're going to shake everything that can be shaken to cause Your people to realize that there are some people sitting on or standing on a tall rock out in the middle of that ocean. And they're there by faith. They're above the curse of this world. Above the waters of Noah. They're not in the waters. They're not under the curse of the Word, which is the water, washing of the water with the Word. They're above it. The Word has put them above the curse, and because they believe it. Lord, put Your faith in Your people that they might escape these things that are coming upon the world. Father, we ask You for a mighty, mighty miracle of provision. We ask Your gifts of faith given out to Your people. Thank You, Lord, too, that they will realize that when you get what those disciples got, you will do what they did. They got the Holy Spirit. And Lord, let Your people know that receiving the Holy Spirit today is the same as when they received it back in Your day and the early apostles' day. It's the same. It comes with power. You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be My witnesses, which means we are a witness of Christ, not a witness of modern day Christianity or religion, but a witness of Christ. That He's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same Jesus Don't let dead religion tell you what Jesus looks like. Go and read your Bible, saints, and find out that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your mighty power to deliver your people from bondage. Much like the Israelites were delivered from bondage in Egypt to go into the wilderness following the man-child Moses. Amen. And he taught them how to receive food out of heaven, water out of the rock, all these impossible things. Amen. All right, saints, God bless you. Thank you so much for joining us today, and keep in prayer. And, yep, it's not over, but some people think it's about over, but it's not. You know, there's still trouble coming, but the Lord is going to change things greatly and in a good direction. Amen. All right. Good night. God bless you.